Father God, we have had such a wonderful morning of worship already this morning. All about your holiness and all about how great you are. Father, we pray that you would just continue to pour the blessings down upon us this morning. We thank you for all of us that have got to come this morning due to the weather, and we pray for those that can't due to sickness or just can't get out. Father, I pray that you would move me out of the way. That you would take what you've given me and apply it to someone's heart this morning. Be with us as we go through the rest of our service. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I guess the kids get to go to class now. So this is a little different for me. I'm used to doing that and not doing this. So I ask for your prayers this morning. I ask for you to really just take a minute and understand that everything I'm about to say, I prayed a lot about, and I would say 100% it has to deal with me. This morning what we're going to be talking about is having an anxious heart. It's something I struggle with personally. And that's not necessarily something that, you know, can be a bad thing all the time. Having an anxious heart, there's tons of things that come with being anxious. You can be anxious about good things. You can be anxious about bad things. You can be anxious about pretty well anything, even the color of the carpet, if that's really what you get upset about. But really, more importantly, is what is the Christian supposed to do with anxiety? How are we supposed to take care of it? We're not. God is. We spent the whole morning really just talking about how wonderful and how great God is, and how we get to call Him Father, and how we get to praise Him, and how He pretty well just gets to hear every little thing and every little problem and every little want that we have. And I'll be real honest with you, a lot of times we don't do that. That I didn't do. So that's kind of the focus of this morning. Really, where I want to start is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 6. And I'll be reading, I'll be jumping around a lot, but the main beef of the message, if you will, is going to be Matthew 6, 25 to 34. It's specifically talking about where Jesus is addressing the disciples, and He's telling us that we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to care about the small things that are within the world. God's got all of that. He's got every inch of it. So if you would, and you're there, and I'm not great on time, so if somebody doesn't have it, just throw your hand up in here and I'll wait. We'll begin reading. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your own life, what shall you eat or what shall you drink, nor for your body, what shall you put on it? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one more cubit to his stature? And why take ye the thought for raiment? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God shall clothe the grass of the field, which to this day and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought in saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. sufficient unto the day is the evil therefore. The word of the Lord. So, there's lots in that, lots that I really try to think about on a daily basis. And I'm not going to get into all the things about whether or not you should take medicine or you shouldn't take medicine and all that. That's between you and your doctor. And you and God. That's probably the most important part of that. If that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. What I want to talk about is I want to talk about that God is the source of carrying the anxiety. God is what we need to walk away from some of those fears. When you break down what anxiety is and what the world thinks about anxiety, it says the world thinks anxiety deals with social and mental health. Okay, I'm afraid to go here. I'm afraid to talk about this. I don't really think about this a whole lot because it bothers me or it scares me, and that can be anything from your bills to the collar or shirt you're wearing today. We just read that we're not supposed to worry about any of those things. We're not. We're supposed to give them to God. Am I doing something wrong? Okay. Anxiety also brings in feelings of doom. That's where I live. Doom. It's what I really worry about a lot. You know, what if? These are things we cannot control. I can't tell you tomorrow whether I'm going to wake up and that, you know, 6-8 inches of snow is not going to be 8-10 feet of snow. It's not in my purview. I don't get that. God doesn't give me that ability. He doesn't want to give us that ability. My wife's kind of looking at me like, yep, we've been there. I used to sit in the middle of the floor and I used to cower at the lightning that came in because I knew that I would have to go out and I would have to be in the weather and I'd have to be in the yuck and I'd be up all night and that would stress me out and then that would stress my kids out and that would stress my wife out and it's just this great big nasty, ugly thing. So what are we supposed to do with that? What happens when we do that? Well, what the world wants us to do is they want us to cower and they want us to not give it to God. They want us to deal with it. They want us to spend a whole lot of time talking about, you know, well, I got to go over here and I got to sit down and I got to meditate about this and I got to take this pill and I got to do that. And I got to go see this person or I got to go see that person. I'm not knocking medicine. I take it myself. The most important thing is that we pray. We've spent an entire morning so far talking about the God in heaven and as my brother Bruce said, the greatest of all time. He's God. He's got every inch of this. I really don't like that phrase that God's got this because we really just kind of hold it in our hip pocket and we sit down and we say, oh, God's got this. And we throw it on the table and we walk away from it. But we don't put any action in it. We don't spend time with it. We're going to talk about that here in a minute too. So beyond the bad anxiety that we all talk about, what about good anxiety? Anybody ever had that? Anybody, specifically the women in this room, ever anticipated the birth of your child? And not just your first child, but all of your children. Right? You're excited. You cannot stand yourself. You're spending time cleaning things that you don't need to clean, or packing things that you don't need to pack, or running around like a chicken with your head cut off because that little baby's coming. And that's great. That's good anxiety. Or what about all of us in here who are married? Right? That day you walk up on some platform in some church or before a judge and you get to be with the person that you love for the rest of your life. Man, I'm telling you, I could not stand still. I was beside myself. I didn't care about anybody in the audience. I only cared about that girl over there. How many of us can say that? That's the good anxiety. What do we do with that? Is that things we give to God too? Absolutely. Why would we not give those things to God? How many of us in here that are parents spend a little bit of time talking about, I got to give this little thing, this little person, this whole baby that I did not expect was living and breathing back to God? We might have prayed a prayer. We might have spent some time with a pastor. We might have prayed over that baby ourselves and said, this is your creation and I just don't want to mess it up. That's good anxiety too, right? Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to do our best. These are all types of anxiety that people deal with. God gave us anxiety. He gave tons of references in the Bible about anxiety. Not just that we shouldn't care about what we eat or what we wear or where it's all coming from or any of those things. He gave us tons of references about anxiety, and they all point back to Him. They all point back to the Father. And why is that so important? Because if we don't look toward the Father for our fears, for our clothes, for our food, for anything, what happens? We put man in place. I fall short there. Today, 90% of this is about me. I look at a row of people that I call my family. Yes, even you, Rogan, I love you too. They're my responsibility. They're what God gave me. He gave them to me to protect, to love, to care for, to honor, to bring them up in His Word, to teach them about Him, and all those things. And when things get outside of my purview and my control, I get a little anxious. I get a little upset. But the key is not to let it overcome you. That's the key. So we read in Matthew 25 and 34 that we're not supposed 25 through 34 that we're not supposed to at all care about those things. Who cares about them? God does. No, Sam, you can't put your hand up. So, if you would, in your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 35. And we're going to focus on the verses in this chapter 2 through 8. I'm sorry, my bifocals hate me today. Verse 2. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even through joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of her God. Strength, ye weak hands, and confirm feeble knees. I'm going to stop there for a minute. I love you, so I'm going to pick on you. My great friend Josh, I've known Josh since we were, fifth, sixth grade, something like that. So we grew up together. Okay, we went all through school together. Josh is a pretty stout old boy. Okay, I would venture to say that, you know, back in the day, probably not many people wanted to trade punches with him. Okay, that's physical strength. I love my wife, so I'm going to pick on her too. She's one of the strongest, mentally strongest people I can tell you about. There's nothing she can't think her way out of. These are things that we focus on when we talk about anxiety. These are man's things. How strong can I be? How much can I use my brain? How can I work myself, and take that word right there, myself, out of this problem? You can't. There's no way we can. There's no amount of strength. There's no amount of thought. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of things that a mortal can do to wiggle their self out of a problem when God's put something in front of you. God gives us our trials. He gives us our trials so that we grow. He makes us grow. And I think that's the most important thing that I've learned through all of this stuff with my anxiety. He wants me to understand that I have to lean on Him no matter what. Pick up where I left off. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your Lord will come, and this is the best part, with a vengeance. Even God with recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap Then shall the lame man leap, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert, and the parched ground become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. Inhabitations of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And the highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Vengeance. When I hear the word vengeance, the first thing I think of is somebody that is extremely mad and has an extreme sense of urgency about what they're mad about and how they're going to fix it. It's calculated. It's even to the point to which we don't understand how calculated it can be. Minutes and seconds are planned out. Those types of things. God's vengeance is bigger than that. We are precious enough to God to where when we are hurting, when things are bothering us, when we can't get past things, He comes with a vengeance. He comes extremely calculated to our hand, to our feet, to our need, whatever that is. It may not feel like it. Trust me, I have been through all of that. God has left me. I am not here with Him. But He is there with a vengeance. And when you give it to Him, He comes back with recompense. And that recompense means that He is going to restore you. Well, what's He going to restore? What happened? He's going to restore that He's there and He loves you. And that His faith, the faith that you have in Him is extremely real. Because if you've ever been anxious about anything or had a panic attack, it feels like the world has literally fallen down on top of you. We're going to talk more about that too in a minute. Sorry, the iPad keeps going to sleep. Gotta love technology. So, part of moving past this anxiety thing is having faith. Everybody in here has some measure of faith, right? What is that measure of faith? How does it look? What is it that we have faith in? I have faith that when I go out there and I put a key in a car, it's going to start, it's going to drive me home. Small amount of faith, right? Okay. We have faith that the roof that is on this ceiling, thank you, by the way, for helping us put a roof on the church. Totally cool. It's not going to leak. Small amount of faith. How many mothers in here have faith that when they send their children out to do something, when they send their kids to college or they send their kids to the military or they send their kids to the first job, how many of you have faith that they're going to come home and come home right the way you dropped them off and let them? That's a little bigger measure of faith, right? How many of us, when we jump in that car and we drive down the road, have faith that we're going to get there safely? That's a little bigger measure of faith. These are faith things that we have faith in, but they're things here on earth. They're not God's faith. God's faith comes from a whole lot of little things, right? Faith without works. What is it, Tom? Faith without works is dead. See, it's not just enough to come up to an altar and bend on a knee and pray a prayer and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. Okay, great. That's just the smallest part. That's the part where you begin. That's where you begin to take big steps, right? Some of those big steps look like, now I got to pray. How do I pray? Now I got to read a book. For me, that's really hard, okay? I don't like to spend time reading. I'm busy. I got lots of things to do. But I have to do those things. Prayer. Prayer is how we communicate, by the way. Prayer is how we talk to God. We talk to God. Let's put that in perspective. We talk to God. We talk to the biggest thing in the universe. I can't even put words around it. We get to call Him Father. We just sung songs about that. We get to call Him Father. The God of the universe, the Creator of all things, known and unknown, by the way. We get to call Him Father. We have to pray. And you say, okay, how do we pray? We humble ourselves. We spend time and we humble ourselves. For me, what that looks like is I have to pray about every small, stinking little thing. And what I mean about that is sometimes I got to pray about the shoes that I wear. I know that sounds dumb. But see, a person with anxiety, they worry about all that. They worry about all of the stuff. They worry about, is this the right job? If I'm in that job, am I doing the right things about that job? If they praise me for that job, do I get to feel good about it? Because I'm really not supposed to be a proud person. And if I'm not supposed to be a proud person, how am I supposed to react when they give me a reward or they give me a bonus or they give me blah, 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 blah. And those things go on and it just gets compacted in here. So what do? You pray. You pray. You spend time with God and you pray and you give it to Him. You say, God, help me today. I don't care if it's to button your shirt. God cares about it. He wants to care about it. He just told us. We just sang a song about it. We just sang a song that we get to call Him Father. Right? How many of you all in here have dads that you enjoy calling dad? Right? Okay, so if we enjoy calling dad, dad, what does dad do? I'm a dad. I can tell you what my kids do. My kids tell me absolutely everything. And that's great. I want them to. I want them to come to me about, I did this wrong, I did this wrong, I did this wrong, I did this wrong, I did this good, whatever. I want them to come to me. I want to know about every little thing, and I'm going to pick on that guy right there because I love him to pieces. Chad sometimes calls me and tells me, Dad, I did this today. Okay, that's great, buddy. Why? Well, I needed to, whatever. And he has that kind of relationship with me to where he can expand and just go on and talk about every little aspect of what goes on. How many of you all as parents remember that? Sometimes they used to do it when they were really tiny, right? Mom, I went over here and I picked up a rock and it was a gray rock and it came from the ditch in the road. And that ditch in the road had grass in it and had mud and I wiped all the mud off of it. That's great. See, that's God. That's what God wants. He wants us to humble ourselves, to never say, I've got it. And that's extremely hard. It's more than hard. It's probably the most difficult thing for all of us to do, because what the world says to us today is what? We need to be independent. You got this, right? No, God's got this. Pray. Get in your Bible. When you get in your Bible, that's God's way of telling us the things we're supposed to do at the times we're supposed to do them. It's life. Right? Some of us are going to wallow around in the Bible and we're going to be extremely confused. That'd be me. Okay? That'd be me. This guy. Two hands. I read it. It becomes a repetition. Aiden, why do we do things in repetition? Key to success. You may read John 3:16 300 times because it's your favorite verse, but you know enough during the day at 10 o'clock before you do anything else, you got to sit down, you got to open your Bible, you got to have your cup of coffee sitting on the table, and you got to read. Why? Because God's got something for you in the book. It's a repetition. And then once you get past the repetition and you begin to put wheels on that thing called trust and we put our trust in God, those things are going to be revealed to us that He wants you to begin to understand. That's another piece of faith. Right? We got faith to be humble in front of God. We can't see, we can't smell, we can't touch, we can't hold. Now we got to have the faith to pick His book up and read it. Hopefully try to understand it, which I'm going to tell you, most of us won't. Probably none of us in this room will understand everything that's in it in our lifetime. But what we will do is we will have faith and lean on Him so that we can understand this book. And we can move forward. You're saying, David, what's this got to do with anxiety? I want a plan. In the 8 years that I've been coming to this church, I get in my truck every day and I ask God, what's the plan? Why am I here? What am I doing? Where am I going to go? How come you took me from a place I dearly, 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 dearly loved? I loved all my stuff. I liked my stuff. I was good with my stuff. And you put me back here. There's a purpose. There's a plan. Biblically, what we would do is we would pray and we would read. And then we talk about this thing called trust. If you would turn in your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, please. I like Philippians. I'm not like Steve. I'm not like, you know, everybody else that likes Psalms or likes Proverbs. I like Philippians. I like the last half of the Bible. I spent a lot of time there. In my Bible, at verse 5 to verse 7, it says, the secret of peace, the secret of the peace of God. And we're going to talk about God, and we're going to talk about His peace. But first, we're going to talk about trust. How many of you in here would say that you have a great amount of trust of the person that you're sitting beside? I see my brother Bruce back there. I see my brother Josh. You trust the people you love, right? You trust the people that you wake up with and you spend time with every day, and you know their thoughts and they know your thoughts, and you have trust, right? That's what builds an awesome relationship, is this thing called trust. My dad would tell me growing up, trust is earned, it is never given. Right? My kids can tell you that I say that all the time. It is earned. You will not have my trust in anything you do until you have earned it. Me. Remember me. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about me. I trust Steve. And that's just not because I'm up here. I trust you. Steve has earned my trust over several years. I have talked with him. I have shared things with him. He has earned that trust with me. God sent His Son to die on a cross, to live a sinner's life. He's not a sinner, but He lived that way, right? He's experienced everything we ever experience. He knows our hardships. He knows where we've walked, where we've been, what we've seen, where we've gone. He knows everything about it. And when He turned 33 years old, He crawled up on a cross to die for every inch of it. Not just me, not just Steve, not just Gary, everybody in this room. He said, I love you enough to do that. I love you enough to do that. I want you to understand that because I love you enough to do that, you can trust me. I could die for any of the people on that row where my family sit. Comfortable with that statement. Truly, in my heart, I am. Truly, in my heart, I would die for everybody in this room. It's not good enough. It's not good enough because I'm a sinful person. It's not good enough because some people would say, well, he's just proud. Maybe. But God is. God sent Jesus to die on a cross because He loves us. And for that, He wants our trust. He wants us to trust Him enough that when we sit down to pray, that we bring every care, every anxiety, every worry, everything that's outside of my control to Him. That's what He wants us to do. That's what we have to do. How hard is that? Extremely. There's nobody in here that's going to tell us today that that first walk, that first step toward Christ was easy. For me, it wasn't. You know, I got saved when I was a little kid. Saved. Let's talk about that later. I had a real encounter with God much later in life. I had walked away a little bit. I wasn't going to church as much. I had fire insurance. What God wants is God wants my trust. He wants me to come in and sit down and take all that anxiety and shove it in the corner. And say, okay, I trust you. I'm not a fan of the word God's got this. Of the phrase, sorry, God's got this. It seems like what we do is we throw it on the table anytime we want to look good and we feel worried inside. I say that from experience. I don't say that to chastise anybody in here. Oh, God's got this. Yeah, He does. But I didn't give it to Him. I didn't walk away from it. I spent 2 years of my life not giving God what He needed me to give Him. I sat in that chair right back there, and I sat as a bull, and I didn't care, and I wanted to take control of every inch and every ounce of everything that I had hate and anger toward in the world. And I wanted it. And I wanted so bad. I wanted so bad to hold on to it, and it drove me to anxiety. It drove me to a place to where now I get upset. I just want to run. I want to hide. And I don't want to do it anymore. How do we move past it? What do we do? Okay, well, we talked a little bit about faith. We talked a little bit about prayer. We talked a little bit about reading. And we talked a little bit about giving those things to God. Here's what happens, right? We read our Bible. We pray to God. And then God gives us this wonderful thing called peace. Yeah. We laugh about that. What's peace? What does that look like? How does it work? Okay, we don't know. I'm 46 years old. I can tell you right now, I don't know what that looks like. I know that God gives it to me, though. I know that in that 2 years that I came here and I sat in that chair, that there were days that I was just saying, I can't do this. I can't go sit in that chair, in that place, in that building with those sweet people. I cannot do it because I just don't feel worthy enough. But when I would come and I would sit in that chair and I would listen to the message and I would listen to the worship and I would really just try, really, really, really just try for a brief minute to breathe and give it to God, that minute turned into an hour. That minute just washed it all away. That minute gave me time to breathe. See, God doesn't define peace in the terms like, you know, we want to define peace when we talk about the world in the sense of we don't want people to go blow other people up. We don't want people to fight in the street. We don't want people to do those dumb things, right? That's peace to us. That's peace to man. God's peace is to calm your heart. God's peace is to send His Holy Spirit to sit down and to hold your hand and for you to feel the presence of the only thing in the world that can make the noise stop. That's God's peace. That's peace that passes all understanding. I don't get it. I can't explain it. I don't want to try to explain it. I just know that God does it, and I get to accept it, and it's wonderful. But how do we get there? Read your Bible. Pray. Let God have it, because He's going to do the work. And when you let God have it, things start to happen, right? All right? Sometimes those things don't necessarily look good to us in the beginning. Right? How many trials have we went through when we've been praying and we've been letting God deal with our stuff? Right? Almost daily. We can't say that enough, right? But we're all not running around in the street screaming, God's got this. Right? We take it to Facebook or we take it to something else and we tell people about our problems or we worry about things that we shouldn't worry about or we go places we shouldn't go and we do things we shouldn't do because the devil has now figured out how to grab a hold of you because you're not giving it to God. See, that's the dangerous thing. The devil will devour us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take us away from that thing called peace. I'm sorry, I have totally went left of what I wanted to talk about with some things, but I just kind of felt like God needed me to say that. So, let's kind of get back on track. If you're in Philippians, please, in chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let the request be made known unto God. Let that sink in for a minute. How many of you today got up this morning and prayed, God, am I getting to church today or not? Stop. How many of you all got up today and prayed, God, what am I eating for breakfast today? Nobody, right? How many of us today got up and prayed about anything that seemed small? We might have prayed about big things. We prayed about Stephanie. That's a pretty big thing, right? She's laid up. You know, we prayed about people that have hardships, or we prayed about people that, you know, went through some things. We prayed for Donna while her mom passed, and so thankful that God, you know, sat beside her and helped her through that. But we didn't pray about the small things. What's the Bible say? Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't care about the small things. Let God handle those things. Yes, He knows we can get ourselves dressed. Yes, He knows that we can figure out something to eat because we have jobs, or, you know, there's food in the pantry if you're a kid or whatever. But truly, 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 truly speaking, there's people in the world that worry about that, those very things, every time they get out of the bed and their feet hit the floor. It almost controls them. How do we deal with that? How do we know when those things are happening? What do we do if we see people in that type of distress? How do we know they're in that type of distress? See, that's kind of the hook, right? Because as Christians, we talk about this place being a family. Ray, is that your name? I told you this morning, we're all just kind of a big family here, right? Okay. How do we react as a family? What do we do? How do we know those things? How do we know that somebody in this church is having a problem? And what do we do about it? Physical aspects of anxiety. Fast breathing. Been there, done that. Nausea. Been there, done that. Right? Sleeplessness. Really been there, done that. Shortness of breath, chest pain, trembling, shaking, sweating, cold chills, all of these things. These are physical aspects of anxiety. They're physical aspects of it. It doesn't mean that it's made up. It doesn't mean that it's somebody just sitting here drawing to get attention to themselves. They're physically hurting. There's something wrong. Right? And if we're all a big family, what do we do about that? Well, we're supposed to help them. Right? Anxiety's not just here. Anxiety's kind of physical. Anxiety hurts. Trust me. Okay? And in those times, what do? We come together as a family and we pray for those people. We pray. See, we're back to that whole prayer thing. We're back to that whole, we got to trust God to get them through it thing. We're back to that whole, we've got to have God to intervene to make those things quit. Okay? Like I said, I'm not knocking anybody if you take medication. We'll get there in a minute, but I take medication. The reason that we want God involved is those are the times when the temptation and the weakness come in. That's what the devil wants us to do, right? He wants us to give in. He wants us to step out of our protected little family here that we have in Christ Community Church. And He wants us to go back to whatever facet we have, whatever thing we cling to. Everybody's got one. I'm not going to sit here and go around the room and make you tell me. Everybody's got one. Whatever it is, that's it. You know? Mine used to be smoking. I was really good at it. It was my hobby. I enjoyed it. Okay, I supported R.J. Reynolds for several years. Okay, and for 24 years, I haven't done that. But what I'm trying to tell you is we all have that vice. And that's where the devil starts getting in, right? Okay, me, by the time I met Kristen and I quit smoking, I was a 3-pack-a-day Marlboro smoker and loved every minute of it. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Yeah. Tom's going, wow. Okay. The devil said, you need to do that. He put it in my brain. You need to do that. I need to give it to God. Now, I'm not trying to jump on anybody's space in the world or problem or anything like that. That's between you and God. Not what I'm here to do. What I'm here to do is to tell you about things that we do as Christians when we have anxiety and we kind of hide them. God's desire is not for us to suffer. God does not want us to suffer. Okay? He does not want His children to sit in pain. Right? Think about your mom and dad for a minute, right? Let's go back to mom and dad. Let's think about mom and dad for a minute. Jennifer has a mom. When your girls come in and they got a busted knee or something, what happens? Mom saves the day. Right? Mom's got the band-aids and the hugs and the kisses and sometimes the stuff that stings that nobody likes. But mom saves the day. Right? Dad just rub dirt in it. Go. Mom saves the day. Mom saves the day. Ashley, how many times do you save the day in a day? Okay, good. Rub dirt in it then. Okay? But God doesn't want us to hurt. That's the point. Mom doesn't want us to hurt. Dad doesn't want us to hurt. Those are physical hurts. Those are things that we can get through. God doesn't want us to hurt. So what does that look like? That means that this thing they call mental health, He hates that we hurt. He hates that we go on those wonderful little trips down memory lane where the world comes and flies apart on us every 15 minutes. The what I did wrongs and why I did it wrong and how am I going to fix it even though it's 15, 20 years old and I've got to go figure out how to do this because I don't know my name. God doesn't want us to hurt. Give it to God. Here, God, I can't deal with this anymore. It's yours. I got to be able to do that. We're going to look in Ephesians one more time. Or not Ephesians, sorry. Went the wrong direction. Nope, it's Ephesians. I'm right. Ephesians chapter 1 and 13. It says, in Him, Christ, you will also hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in Him, and were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I talked about the Holy Spirit a minute ago. The Holy Spirit. And we've all kind of maybe spent a little bit of time with the Holy Spirit, and maybe realized it, maybe not realized it. Donna, you spent time with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to come on earth. And that's what Jesus said as He ascended into heaven as a comforter. Some of us need that comforter a lot. Some of us don't. Some of us are really good at handing things over to God and can slap that phrase on the table, God's got this, and mean it. I'm not. So I got to lean on that guy, the Holy Spirit, a whole lot. I got to spend time with Him. I got to say, man, today, I woke up and I ate my eggs because I always eat eggs in the morning. I ate my eggs and I ate my bacon and all those things and I got to work and now I just don't know what to do. God, there's a guy over here and he's screaming at me and he's hollering at me and he's, I got to get this done. And, you know, by the way, if you didn't know, I work in a really high stress atmosphere. I work for Kanawha County Metro 911. It's the most stressful job I've ever had in my entire life. If it's broken, it has to be fixed yesterday. Okay, so there's a lot of times I walk in the morning and it's the smallest thing. It's a mouse that's unplugged somewhere or it's an antenna that somebody's broke off a car. We're talking about 5 minutes worth of a fix here. But I've got people screaming at me the minute I walk in the door. Not, hey, how you doing? Here's a cup of coffee. How was your night? Nope, that's not me. Run to the fire as quick as you can. Because that's broken, that's broken, that's broke. And oh, by the way, there's people's lives at stake when you do that. And I know that kind of sounds like it's a little puffed up. And maybe it is. But there is a part of my life that really, my job and it working right, is the dependent of people's lives. So I don't get that whole, I get to sit down and relax thing in the morning. And the reason I bring that up is, that's when I call on the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm one person. I got to calm down. And I got to do what I'm told. But I can only go at one pace, and I can only go one at a time. And if I can't do that, God, I'm going to need you to help me do it. Or my head's literally just going to pop off my shoulders. Okay, again, go back to some of those physical aspects. You know, the sweating, the nausea, the headaches, the all of those things that come with anxiety, right? If you haven't picked up on anything yet, we're all the time pointing this anxiety thing back to God. We read our Bible to reassure ourselves that God exists, that He's not just some, you know, fancy old guy that we think about in the clouds that sits up there and just, you know, plays chess with us. That's not what He does. He loves us. We read His Word, and we read it intently. We don't just sit down and go, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We read it intently. We are really blessed here that we have a pastor that helps us read things intently. Okay? Take that for what it's worth. Reading things intently helps. Because, you know, most of us, when we were taught things in school, memorized things to get through, right? I love to pick on Jennifer because my job actually really does a lot of the things that she teaches. It really, really does. You do use math, kids. Okay? But I use one formula. And I usually have a Excel spreadsheet built so that it does it for me now, because I just don't want to think, you know. And I plug my numbers in, and there it comes, right? But God takes care of all the other things. I guess that's the point. I have an anxious heart. I know God loves me. But I'm horribly guilty of the fact that I don't give most of my anxiety to Him on a daily basis. And He doesn't want me to hurt. And I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to get through those things. The last thing, which has been something that I've spent a lot of time in my adult life doing, that I want to impress upon this body of believers, we're going to go back to that phrase, church family. People who are anxious like to stay away from everybody else. It's what we do. I don't want you to know my pain. I don't want you to know my suffering. I don't want you to know anything about my problem because it's mine. And I'm going to hold it. And I'm not going to let you have it. You have to be part of a family in the body of Christ is somebody who has anxiety and a Christian to get past those things. There's not a person in here right now that I can say has not loved me and my family in some way since we've been here. And that's called church family. There's not a person in this house right now that hasn't touched my family in some way. That's church family. Guys, we take it for granted. We spend all this time worrying about peripheral things, right? Those peripheral things are extremely small. What's important is that God has gathered us in His house as a body of believers to be one. We are the bride of Christ, right? We are the bride of Christ. That simply means that we are supposed to act like we like each other so that when we get to heaven, we're not going to try to smack each other when we get there. Okay? Because I'm real good at that. What it means is we share our burdens, right? We have to give those burdens to the body of believers because there's some of us that have actually walked some of those miles about having an extremely ornery boy. Right? There's some of us that have been through things in life that are extremely hard to talk about. That some of us need to lean on the other person to figure out how to navigate. If we don't do that in the body of believers that are here, the devil will find you and he will eat you. He will not only eat you, he will destroy everything good inside of you because you've let him do that. God gave us the tool, this, the church. You know, the people I'm not Pastor Mike. I'm not a great big historian, but I've learned enough about, you know, the Church of Galatia and the Church of Ephesus and the Philippian Church. These churches were churches that did absolutely everything together. They ate together. They hung out together. They were together all the time. They knew everybody's problems. They knew everybody's families. They knew what was going on in each other's lives. These churches survived things. We're going to survive things as a church. We are. Okay? We're going to survive things like Chad when he came home. We're going to survive moms and dads passing. We're going to survive parents who are failing. We're going to survive all of those things because we're a body of believers and we have to spend time together. We have to spend time together to love each other. God commands us to do that. He does. He wants us to take care of one another. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and 7. I hate that thing. We have to talk about anxiety a little bit more, and we have to draw from something else that God's going to give us. It's called strength. I love my brother Gordon, who's sitting out there right now doing what Gordon does and making sure that we're all in here tucked in nice and neat and listening. He said something to me the other day, and it really struck me funny. And it used to be something I worried about all the time was, you know, you're a pretty stout guy. You're pretty strong. Okay, what's that mean? That means for my size, I can pick things up and put things down and run fast and not sense asthma. But, you know, I can do stuff, right? I can work. I can work a whole day, right? Like my brother Josh. He can work. He works with his hands the whole day. What's that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we can do things the way we want to do mentally. That's for sure. Strong people, a lot of the times what they do is they take that thing that people say, well, man, you're really strong, and they hide in it. And they say, okay, I'm just going to keep these emotions, and I'm going to keep these things to myself. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because the world thinks that I'm strong. But you find out real quick that you're not. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7 talks about God giving people strength in their anxiety. I get talking and then I forget to turn my Bible. I'm sorry. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's 7, but read 8, because sometimes the cool things happen in the next verse, right? Take every care you got, give it to God, he cares for you. Right? We know that. A lot of times what we do is we throw that on the table just like God's got this. We spend a whole lot of time saying, oh, I gave it to God, he cares about me, so it's all going to turn out wonderful and peachy. Because God's peachy. Not all the time. He wants us to walk through some things, right? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. See, guys, that's what's really kind of the goal here. Is that we don't let the devil devour us. Right? Everybody in here's got their stuff. We probably all need to spend some time learning about each other's stuff. But everybody's got stuff, right? If we stay in our stuff and we let our stuff just continue, the devil's going to eat you alive. You have to give it to Him. If you don't, that's the end result. All right, so I know I'm kind of at the end of my rope here, so I'm just going to go ahead and move this on a little bit. I talked a little bit about good anxiety, and if you want to you want to read about those things and you want to talk about those things a little bit, number one is motivation. If you motivate people the right way, it gives them an anxious heart enough to get a job done. That's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Resilience. Anxious people are often very, 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 very resilient. That means we bounce back pretty good. We expect things to happen. We're good at it. We're planners. We plan for things to happen bad. When it happens, we don't, you know, lose our minds about it. It's just we walk through it. Okay? So resilience. Resilience, that's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. Cautiousness. Anxious people are extremely cautious. That would be why we're pretty resilient. That's in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Longevity. God wants us to take care of ourselves. Generally speaking, anxious people try to take pretty good care of themselves because they worry about that. Okay, so that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. And Proverbs 31, verse 6. Okay. And then empathy. And guys, this is just what was on my heart. I hope it helped somebody. Gary, if you would, let's bring the praise team up. I am in by no way a pastor and don't profess to be one, but thank you for letting me speak with you. Thank you for letting me know your heart.